This piece was brought to you by Heritage Foods USA. HeritageFoodsUSA.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This is the news.
Food truck chefs and their staff wear many hats, part culinary innovators, part entrepreneurs, part duct tape surgeons, part land yacht navigators. They're on the front line of bringing food to the people. Sometimes amusing, sometimes painful, their stories bring to light some of the inherent problems of operating a non-traditional dining experience. We discuss the realities of taking a food business to the streets and how these four food truck operators navigate their everyday roadblocks to bring you gourmet meals on the go. This panel was recorded at Bonnaroo Arts and Music Festival 2015 and moderated by Allison Hamblin.
Hi there, Planetaroo. How are you guys? Woo! All right. I like these guys in the back and the hammocks. You guys have the right idea. Good work. Well, welcome, everybody. We are Heritage Radio Network. We are a food radio station located in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We are super thrilled to be here at Bonnaroo. It's a great place. You guys are awesome. This is super fun. It's really hot. Nobody thought about that. But we are located in the back of a pizza restaurant in a shipping container. So we're used to the weird. We're down with that. And so today we wanted to talk a little bit more about food. So how many of you guys have eaten at a food truck so far at Bonnaroo? See a lot of hands out there? Yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk to the people behind the wheel of all of those food trucks, because without them, I think you guys would be like a little less in good spirits. So without too much further ado, I want to introduce our panel, because they were gracious enough to step away from their trucks to join us for 45 minutes today. So let's get a big round of applause for these guys. All right. So on my right, your left, we got Patrick Rathbone. He is from the Big G's in D.C. Say hi.
Hi, everyone.
All right.
Hello.
We have Jonathan Kaufman from Eatbox Food Truck, and he's located in Jackson, Tennessee.
Hello.
All right. We have Daniel Krause from the Cracked Truck in Champaign, Illinois.
Hello.
Hey. And as a last-minute addition to our panel, we have Jen Buckaloo. She is in Poutine in Your Mouth and from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hello, everyone.
Awesome. So if I can have you guys, starting with Jen and headed back towards me, tell me a little more about your trucks.
So a couple of years ago, three actually now, I was up at a festival in Montreal called Oceaga. If you haven't been there yet, I highly recommend you add it to your festival list. And myself and my partner in crime, Ted, who runs the truck with me, we had poutine six times in one day. And I said to him, we need to bring poutine to the States. We need to have a restaurant. And he said, I don't ever want a restaurant, you crazy big boob blonde lady. Next year, we went to the same festival, had poutine six times in one day, had poutine all over Montreal. And I said, we should do a food truck. We should take it to festivals across the country. And he said, I don't want a food truck. I don't want a restaurant, you crazy big boob blonde lady. And I was like, okay, fine. A couple of weeks later, he had a dream. If you step by our truck, you'll see it's covered in colorful art. It's got a different look and feel to it. And what came out of his dream was the actual design of that truck. And he sent me an email and said, yeah, we're going to build this truck, and we're going to take it across the country to festivals. And here we are.
Awesome. All right. Daniel, you want to tell us a little more about Cracked?
Yeah, so my truck started about 3 years ago also. I was a second semester senior in college at the University of Illinois, and I decided, you know, I don't want to go really work for someone else. I love food, and I had just been a student, and so I thought of the idea, let's bring a food truck to the University of Illinois. The whole concept was kind of designed around, like, what do I like to eat while I'm drunk? And what do I like to drink to eat the day after I'm drunk? And, you know, eggs, cheese, salt, pepper, it's all good stuff, bacon. So that's kind of where the concept came from. And it has been a absolute just blank canvas for me to just kind of do whatever, you know, I want. Over the summer, the students kind of take off, so it gets a little dead. And we decided that, hey, we're going to... Why not roam around the country and do some music festivals for the summer. So now we got a second truck, you know, I got to play around with the artwork and kind of make it this little like Willy Wonka wonderland of food on the side of the truck. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, this is our third Bonnaroo. It's been an amazing ride.
All right. Jonathan, tell us more.
Okay. In 2012, I bought the truck and thought, I'm going to be the first food truck in my town, which has about 80,000 people in it. And, you know, I'm just going to rake in all this cash, right? And unfortunately, no one in my town knew what a food truck was, and still learning. But this is our third Bonnaroo as well, and the third event we ever did was Bonnaroo, which was quite an undertaking. We serve gourmet meatballs, and it's the only place we sell them is here at Bonnaroo, and it's going pretty well. We love being here. It's a lot of work. You know, just enjoying the crowd and trying to have fun at the same time. So,
awesome. So last but not least, Patrick, tell us a little bit about the Big Cheese.
So our first day on the road was December 10th, 2010. I know this because it was cold. We started going into the winter. So we've been on the road for a little over 4 years. When I started the truck, there was about 10 or 12 trucks roaming around the DC area. Now there's upwards of 250. They're all over the place. But at the time, I wanted to do a pizza truck, but there was already a pizza truck. And we were like, well, there's only like 10 trucks. I can't do pizza. Somebody else is doing that. So I turned to grilled cheese. I was like, I can execute that, and we can make that work. And then that's where I was like, if I'm going to do grilled cheese, I just don't want to do craft singles on Wonder Bread. I want to do it right. So then the gourmet grilled cheese concept was born. We rotate throughout the year, so somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 sandwiches. You know, we have a summer menu, we have seasonal menus, we have some that stay on the menu all year long. We try to keep some of the simpler sandwiches for the festivals so that people, you know, people walk up, they're like, I understand that, so we don't get too crazy. I think our craziest one now is the peach and chong, which is smoked gouda with peach chutney. And that's like the crazy one for the festival, but we do some other ones. But so far, this is our third Bonnaroo. We've done several other music festivals, but this is definitely the biggest one that we do.
All right. Well, let's talk about getting a little crazy here. So the theme of our panel today is burned. The idea came because it's kind of a play on words. I'm not gonna like totally explain that out. But there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes on food trucks that you guys might not know about. And today we're going to lift the veil a little bit and talk about some of the times that these guys got burned on the road at festivals. And you know, sometimes things don't go the way you want, but this is a pretty creative crew. So I'm going to let them tell you what happened and how they fixed it. So we'll start with you, Patrick. Tell us a time about when you got burned.
So, yes. So our burn story came... Well, there's several, but really the one for this particular story is from 3 years ago. We came right off of our first Bonnaroo, and we just crushed it here. We executed everything well. We made tons of money, and we were feeling good about ourselves. So we had rented a refrigerated trailer here and for a series of festivals, this one and then Firefly after the next week. So... we had returned that trailer, and in the following month we had All Good Festival, which was in Ohio. So we went to that same company and got another refrigerated trailer, and got on the road. All Good was in about 8 hours, 8 or 10 hours away from us. And we got there sometime in the middle of the day, got everything set up, you know, because it takes, we at this festival, everybody shows up on Monday. And generally for these festivals, you show up 2 or 3 days beforehand so you can get everything you need settled. Because we're basically setting up a kitchen in the middle of a field, which is completely different than running like with all of your electricity and water already there. So we got everything set up, and we were hanging out in the refrigerated trailer at night, at midnight, the day that we had arrived, and we were just kind of organizing, make sure everything was like tight and where it needed to be. The next morning, comes time for health inspection, And I just go back to do one final walkthrough, and the trailer had failed. So it was fortunately cool enough at night, but it was now 90 degrees, and it was the trailer was about 50 degrees, which for food handling, your trailer, your food has to be under 40 or over 140. What we serve is bread, butter, and cheese. So, you know, cheese, you do have a little bit of wiggle room versus like raw meats and such. But the health inspector jumped on the truck and he's like, you know, I don't know how long this has been at 50 degrees and you basically can't serve. So we just basically had to pack everything up that day in the 90 degree heat. We lost like a $2,000 vending fee, probably like $20,000 in sales. And we just had to pack up and turn around and go back to DC. And then to add insult to injury, all of my staff had their bracelets. All of their bracelets got deactivated, so they couldn't even stay and hang out and enjoy the festival. So we referred that to all bad festival. I mean, nothing against them, but like it was all bad for us. And then they took a hiatus for a year, and they're back this year. I applied to them again. I was like, you know what? I'll give this another whirl, because I went out and bought my own refrigerated trailer now. So I'm not at the whim or mercy of, you know, somebody else's equipment that is a rental. Like, we do enough of these that this, within like three seasons, the refrigerated trailer will pay for itself in what I would have rented to, you know, paid to rent it. And I also share it with other vendors, you know. We rent out whatever extra space we have. So anyway, the problem was solved by getting another trailer, but I never got back into All Good, at least not this year. So we'll keep trying.
It's kind of the opposite of a burn, really. It's like a slow melt.
Yeah, yes. It was a thaw. It was cooling.
Yeah, it was a slow thaw. All right, great. Well, Jonathan, you want to enliven us with your time you got burned?
Yeah, sure. Well, you always have to have a open mind and a strong patience when you come to events like this with food vending, because something's always going to go wrong. You just have to know it's going to happen and just go with it. But after my first Bonnaroo, it was really the only large event I did all year, and so I was pretty pumped about my first full season the following year. So I applied for everything, and it was something just about every weekend, or, you know, 4 or 5 days, however long you had to be there. And one event that I was at in Memphis, Tennessee, in May, should have been one of the best events I went to all year. And anyway, so I paid this booth fee, and it's a guaranteed amount, and take all this food, and the first thing we get there is we're told we have to be there on Tuesday. So we pull all our stuff to Memphis and get ready to set up and get everything in position, and they tell us we don't have power until Thursday. So we had to figure out some way to keep, like he said, his reefer trailer cooled. And so we spent every few hours going back, making sure this extension cord that we ran across the street from somebody's house was powering all of our food, which fortunately it did. So the event starts, it's going pretty decent, and you know, we're doing okay. But the biggest thing that we learned from that festival and helped us move forward as far as being a little more decisive on where we want to work and who we want to work with was the actual booth fee. We end up spending almost like 70% of our sales to the festival alone because of the guaranteed amount that they're required to pay and vendors are required to pay. But so we got really eaten up last summer on booth fees, and that's, it makes me sick thinking about it, really. But Bonnaroo is really is not like that at all. It's just an awesome event, and it's a great place to be.
All right. So everybody think about that next time you think that festival food is expensive. The reason it might be so expensive is that there's a lot that goes into it. So, all right. Great. Well, Daniel, your turn. Tell us about a time you got burned.
Okay. So my story is kind of about the constant struggle of remembering the little things. One of the issues with a food truck is that there are so many moving parts to it, and you don't have like a home base to go back to. So if you forgot cups or boats or plates or forks or something, you can't just go in the back room and get whatever you need. So our very first day of operating, we had a ribbon cutting ceremony for us in Champaign, which is where we were operating out of. And basically everyone in the world that I care about was going to be at this. So we had not served any food prior to this day. And so, okay, so we start, you know, line is like 30 people deep. And we start taking orders. And when an order comes in, it goes on to like a little ticket line. And then we throw the ticket line to the other window. And the other window, that person is reading them and is sending the food out. So we're taking all these orders in. And we've got like, you know, 20, 30 sandwiches or whatnot. And we got tots coming in also. And so the person on tots drops the tots in the fryer. And it just like sits there. And he's like, yo, like, we don't, like, these tots aren't frying. So we look at the fryer and we're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, we didn't turn the deep fryer on. So the deep fryer, for those of you who are wondering, takes like 20 to 25 minutes to heat up. So, again, first day of service. So now we are trying to serve these sandwiches without the tots. And so the sandwiches are finally coming out. We're like, okay, whatever. Like, we'll just send the tots out whenever we get, you know, whenever they're done. And the person sending the sandwiches out realizes that we have no system set up for calling out who just ordered what food. Like, we weren't taking, like, numbers or names or anything. So we just had these lists of sandwiches of, like, who, you know, no names for anything. So the person's reading them, like, yo, I got a Goive and a Vegasm. And there's like 30 people in front of the truck, just like, yeah, that's my sandwich. And just there was just zero organization whatsoever. And so tots are coming out 35 minutes after the sandwiches are done. We forgot like plates and straws. We forgot basically everything back at home. My parents, this was the first time my parents had ever actually seen the truck. And you know, this was just, it was just an absolute nightmare. Since then, we never forgot to take names for orders or turn the deep fryer on. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a successful strategy. Yeah. Is it working so far?
It's working so far. All People right. seem to like deep fried tots instead of tots saturated in oil.
All right. Jen, last but not least, tell us a time in your food truck travels that you got burned.
There's been so many, pretty much. Like everyone else has echoed every single event, there's been some kind of a challenge. And up until June, the end of June of last year, the most traumatic experience for me personally was when we ran out of gravy, which if you know what goes into poutine, it's fries, cheese, and gravy, and then different toppings, at the Oyster Festival. But that was soon surpassed end of June last year when we were driving from Salt Lake City to Michigan to go to Electric Forest. And I don't know if you guys remember the end of June last year, it was crazy summer weather. There were all sorts of rainstorms and we're driving, we're about an hour and a half away from loading in, trying to beat the clock because it's a 3-day drive to get there. We just wrapped up another event across the other side of the country. And we're driving down the freeway, towing our cart with our RV, and in a rainstorm with semis passing us on either side of the truck, and all of a sudden, I think we're gonna die. And the driver's losing control and kind of veering. We had lost a tire, all of the lug nuts had sheared off the tire of our trailer and went flying down the freeway and almost hit the two cars of our staff that were behind us. And we safely made it off to the shoulder, off to the right, across three lanes of traffic, and we're sitting there and we're all just, our adrenaline's racing and we think we're gonna die, and the police pull up and I'm like, oh, thank God you're here. And they ask us where we're going and we say we're going to Electric Forest, we're food vendors. And they say, well, it's not safe for you to be here. We'll call you a tow truck that will help you sooner. And next thing I know, you know, we're like, oh, thank you so much. The police are gonna help us. And My partner gets back in the RV, and the police show up, and then a couple more police show up, and then a couple more police show up, and then a flatbed trailer shows up and loads our poutine cart on there, and Ted gets in the RV. Now we're going to have our escort off the freeway with five police cars, and says they didn't give us our driver's licenses back. So immediately say something's wrong, and Ted pipes up and says, if anybody has anything in their possession, take care of it now. We don't know. We have a staff of 15 people. We're traveling across the country. We are going to a festival. They pull us into this parking lot. They separate all of us into different cars, and they start questioning us, and they ask us if they can search our RV and our poutine trailer. And I say, what's your probable cause? And they say, we think that you might be interstate drug traffickers. And I said, but we're legitimate business owners. We're poutine slingers. Well, why are you going to Electric Forest? That's a big drug festival. Because people on drugs like poutine. And it's a good festival food. And we were invited to go there. 4 hours later, all of our luggage pulled out of the RV, spread across the parking lot of the gas station as they went through it with a fine-tooth comb. This is after I told them they could not search our RV because they did not have probable cause. They brought out their drug dog, which circled the RV 7 times until it finally hit on the back of the RV. The more they couldn't find 4 hours as they kept going farther and farther and farther into this. Now, meanwhile, we're late now for load-in. I'm freaking out, but they'd also threatened me. I had my son. I have a 7-year-old, and as you can see, I'm ready to pop. No, I'm only 8 weeks. I'm not having a Bonnaroo baby. I mean, 8 months. I'm sorry. 8 weeks left. So they threatened me that they were going to haul my child and his friend away and ruin my life forever and take me to prison if I didn't cooperate with them and tell them what they wanted to know. And I said, well, there's nothing to tell you. So they ended up not finding anything. We did end up making it to the event, although a bit late. Fortunately, our handler was very gracious. So that's by far my most traumatic story in how I got burned and how our business got burned. But I could sit here and tell you stories for days, seriously. Every single event's been quite a work in process, quite interesting, and quite enlightening.
Wow. Okay, so enough of that. Let's head to something a little more positive, because I think you guys have done an amazing job of MacGyvering your way out of all of these situations. But what I kind of want to talk about a little more is how you decided to get into food truck business. It seems like, you know, there were some lessons you learned along the way, but maybe we'll start with you, Daniel. Can you tell us a little bit about how you decided to open up a food truck?
Yeah, I started, I was doing this internship with a restaurant company in Chicago, and part of the internship was to create a restaurant concept. And at the end of the summer, we were going to present to the company. And so I pitched this idea of an omelet bar to my group. It was going to be called Cracked. And so, you know, they liked it. We started working on this concept. And the idea was, well, how do we get people who are just walking in off the street to, you know, they're going to school, they're going to business, whatever. How do we get them to get a omelet to go? It, you know, no one wants to eat an omelet on the sidewalk or at their desk. So then the idea was, well, we can make every omelet a breakfast sandwich, and or give everyone the opportunity to make the omelet a breakfast sandwich. So when I was graduating from college, I thought, I want to get into the restaurant industry. I want to do something with food. I want to do something by myself, and I don't have $1 million to open a restaurant. Hey, I could take this concept that I already have and basically just nix all the omelets, use the carryout idea that I had, add some tots, throw some cheese and bacon in there, and you got a concept for a food truck.
All right. sounds like you that resonates with some people out there. Yeah, maybe. Patrick, I think your story kind of overlaps a little bit, and I'm wondering if maybe you want to share your, you know, your sort of restaurant to food truck transition with us.
So I got my first job waiting tables at like 18, I think, 18 to 19, and I was like, you know, I waited tables in college, and I pretty much knew I wanted to be in the restaurant business, and, you know, I waited tables for many more years out after college than I probably should have. But then finally got around to getting into management. I ran like several restaurant concepts, so, you know, starting as assistant manager and moving up. But I knew even in college that I wanted to work for myself and have my own business and most likely my own restaurant. But money is hard to get for restaurants. It's hard to finance those. And so when the in 2010, when I started, like, that was when the first wave of trucks were starting to pop up in DC. I was like, I can do that. Like, so I maxed out all my credit cards, which fortunately before that I didn't have any, like, wasn't carrying any debt or anything like that. So, like, I just, you know, leveraged everything I could and got this truck. It was already a food truck. It was a Bomb E truck. So it was actually, like, already on the streets, and then I rebranded it and basically just hit the road within, I think I had the idea, I think it was probably like no more than 6 months between, hey, I should do a food truck, to hitting the road. I think it was like 2 months of, you know, getting it and then just like all the permitting and everything. It's a long process. And in our area, every jurisdiction you're in, you have to be permitted. So in DC, in Arlington, in Fairfax, like a whole set of permits for, you know, health department, fire, like all, you know, business permits. So yeah, within, once I decided to pull the trigger on the truck, it actually happened pretty quickly.
Awesome. Jonathan, so you kind of come at this from a little bit of a different perspective. What was the build out for you like, not really having that, you know, that background in food service?
Well, I went to school with this guy in college, and we ended up working together right out of college at the same corporation. And then I ended up seeing him on the Food Network like a couple years later with a food truck. And I just thought, I know how to drive. I think I know how to cook. I think I can do this. And so, like, kind of like Patrick said, you know, we just financed a truck and had it delivered to my house. And, you know, then you just kind of look at it and decide, you know, now what? So just one step at a time, you know, getting the proper license and insurance and learning all the rules and regulations in your town. It just takes time, and it's not just as easy as just turning on, you know, a grill and firing it up. It's just a whole lot of work that goes into it.
But you're still a pretty good driver, yeah?
I've only had 2 blowouts in the food truck, so I guess so.
All right.
I'm still here.
Jen, I want to bring this down to you because I heard your food truck design came to your partner in a dream. Is that right?
That's absolutely true.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I mentioned that I kept trying to talk Ted into doing this, and he kept telling me no. And one day he had a bad day at work. We don't come from this industry at all. So if you notice our trailer, it's completely different. It doesn't look like any other food truck you've probably ever seen. We dubbed it an art cart, food cart, a cognitive eating experience with lights and music and sound. And we take DJs with us to a lot of festivals, and we've done it all a lot differently. I have a background in corporate sales. I've been doing corporate technology sales for 15 years, and my partner did research on explosives and is a chemist. So one day he was having a bad day at work, and I brought it up again that day, and I just said, that's okay, we'll do plan B. We'll build a food truck, we'll take it to festivals. And that night was the night that he had the dream, and drew it all out, and I woke up the next morning to this email saying this is what we were going to do. So it's been really interesting for us because we didn't have food service experience. We didn't come from this industry. We didn't know what the hell we were doing, honestly. We made a list of festivals we wanted to go to, and last year our grand opening was at Coachella. And 5 days before Coachella started, I had 9 friends back out, and there was 4 of us to operate the truck for 24 hours a day for 5 days straight. And so everything, like I said, we've learned has just been on the fly because we didn't know anything. I mean, literally did not know anything. I look back a year ago, we ended up doing 17 events last year. We have more than that booked already for this year and did in January of this year. Last year, we were flying by the seat of our pants getting into things just based on our concept. And I look back at what happened last year, and I think we had no business being at Coachella for our grand opening. And Bonnaroo was kind of, for me, the holy grail of where we wanted to end up. So it's really, really humbling to me to be here. I'm super stoked. It's freaking awesome. You guys are incredible, and this festival is incredible.
Shout out to all you guys. Thanks for being incredible. Good work. Keep it up. I want to open this up to everybody, and feel free to jump in. But I want to know, what's one thing that you wish more people knew about your job? Don't be shy.
It's incredibly hard. It's incredibly risky. It's incredibly fun. It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. After standing on my feet, now granted I am 8 months pregnant, but even if you're not 8 months pregnant, I'm sure everyone else here can attest to this. If you stand on your feet for 14, 16 hours a day, it feels like you've been beaten by a gang in a dark alley with a bunch of baseball bats and rebar. It is hard on your body. That being said, I think what drives me in what makes me continue to be passionate about this is that food is so primal. There's a few just basic core primal needs. And so being able to go to a festival where people are excited to be there and they're doing what they're passionate about, and then to being able to connect with them on that primal level with food and see the look in their eyes when they have this, you know, in our case, this giant bowl of poutine, and they take a bite of it and they're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth.
All right. Anybody else? Something you wish people knew about your job?
But yeah, it's definitely physically demanding. For example, last night I went to bed at 4:15 and woke up a little before 6, and it's like that for 4 straight days for me. And it's I know you guys party hard, but we probably work twice as hard. It's a lot of hard work.
All right. So I'm gonna now look a little bit to the future. For us, we're a radio station that travels around. We spend a lot of time looking at things that people are doing that are new, that are innovative, that are really pushing the boundaries of dining as we know it. And food trucks have caught our eye for a while because you guys are really at the forefront of that movement. You're taking food to places that it's never been before. We are literally in a field in Tennessee eating gourmet meatballs. That is a pretty crazy experience to have. So what I want to know from you guys, and maybe we'll start with Patrick and work our way down, but I'm curious to hear from the inside where you guys think that the food truck industry is headed, and maybe what the next steps either for you or for your group of awesome culinary innovators are. So take it from here.
So there's a lot of different directions. I don't think that the food truck industry is necessarily going to be like all heading in one direction, mostly because just looking at the 17 founding members of our food truck association in DC, like people have done different things. Like there have been people go off and have gotten, there's been several brick and mortars that have started. I have gone the festival route. There have been partnerships with like breweries and that kind of thing. There's been co-branding. We had a year-long pop-up restaurant in a bar. The guy starting the bar didn't want to handle the food, so we did that for a year. And you know, festivals were a bit better money for us, so we finally after a year gave up on that. But you know, just like there's so many different styles of food trucks and so many creative, interesting people doing what they love to do on the food truck. I mean, that just by its nature, because these are trailblazers, they're going to go in all sorts of different directions, and like, you know, everybody's going to have a different jumping off point and say, I want to do this or that. So I think that it's just like a great route to build whatever food service business, you know, going into catering, going into festivals, going into a brick and mortar. There's just so many different avenues that you could take after you've built, you know, your solid base with a food truck, because the startup costs for food trucks are so much lower than you know, for a brick and mortar restaurant, it's almost like putting whatever larger business you want on layaway, right? You buy a little bit of equipment here and a little bit of equipment there, and you really ramp up. So if we wanted to do a brick and mortar, we're not starting from scratch. We have, you know, a ton of the equipment and everything we would need to start that, if that's the route if we wanted to take. So there's just so many directions you can go with it.
Awesome. Jonathan?
Well, I don't know how the future for food trucks in general is where it's heading, but hopefully for me, being that I'm the only food truck in my town, you know, getting just my neighborhood, my community, my city, just kind of on board with the whole trend. I mean, it's obviously food carts, food trucks have been around for a long while, but you know, in the last 5-6 years, you know, where they've really just jumped up there, where it's, you know, you can get some really amazing food from these food trucks, and just, you know, helping people learn, letting people realize, you know, what we have to offer. We don't have just little, you know, dollar hamburgers and French fries. You know, we actually offer some really great meals, and that's the biggest thing for me. Just hopefully getting that word out in my town,
sure,
that, you know, we're here and we're local, and I think a lot of people want to support local, and I think that's one of the biggest advantages for us, is just letting people know that.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely lots of local talent and imported local talent from around the country here at Bonnaroo. All right, Daniel, your turn. Tell us what you think is next for food trucks.
I think it's nice thing about food trucks is that people are becoming more and more open to trying new things and trying something out of the box. And that's kind of exactly what a food truck does. It gives you something that maybe you can't find in a restaurant. Maybe you are getting from someone that is more of like a home cook and they make something amazing. Food truck menus are generally pretty small, and that's for a reason. It's because, one, they can't put out that much product, but two, because they want to keep their whole menu great. You know, these people make a couple things really, really, really well, and they want to share those things with you. And personally, I don't see any end to the food truck frenzy. I see it continuing to skyrocket. We operate on a college campus, and I can't imagine in the next 5 years we're not going to see a few more trucks pop up around us as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, the top of these guys said, just, it's definitely going up, and I don't really see a stop to it.
Amazing. And Jen, tell us where you think this is headed.
I think the food truck revolution is going to continue. Obviously, people always have to eat. It will continue to spread across the country and around the world in small towns. And those who have the drive and the ambition and the tenacity to be able to pull off their good concept and provide a good product will stay in business. And those who don't, like all other businesses, will fail, unfortunately. And for Poutine Your Mouth, I know what we are doing and where we're headed is a little bit of a hybrid. We're actually opening a tiny 650 square feet poutinery in Salt Lake City in August. And then we are replicating our model of an art cart, food cart, tied with a tiny poutinery regionally around the country, so that the truck can service the festivals in that part of the region, and we don't have to drive, and you know, I don't have to choose between if I want to go to Firefly or Wet the Festival. I can fly and I can come to both.
All right. Well, viva la food truck revolution, for sure. We're in our last few minutes here, but I want to just do a quick lightning round and have you each tell us what we should not miss on your food truck menu. So we'll work our way back the line. Jen, you can start us off.
Well, if you're hungry for breakfast, don't miss the hangover. We only serve it until noon. Fries, cheese curd, savory sauce, bacon, maple drizzle, and a sunny side up egg. If you happen to be a vegan, come and have the magic mushroom with the vegan cheese.
Damn, girl, that sounds great. All right, Daniel, tell us what we should not miss at the Cracked Truck.
Oh, you gotta try the goive. It's a breakfast sandwich with hash brown patty, cheese, egg, fried salami, bacon, sweet and spicy cream cheese.
Don't tell your cardiologist about this sandwich. Don't tell them. All right, Jonathan, what should we catch at Eatbox?
Well, you're going to catch a lot of balls over at the food truck. But the main, most popular dish we have here is our PCB. It's about almost between 9 and 10 ounces of beef or meat, and on top with our honey scallion sauce and hash browns and pepper-crusted bacon. It's a lot of food.
All right, Patrick, big cheese. What's up?
Yeah, we run in four sandwiches, but I think our most popular, at least yesterday, was the thrilled cheese, which is chipotle cheddar with pickled jalapenos and guacamole. It's got a little bit of a low heat to it, but it's not crazy spicy because the jalapenos are pickled. And then I'm still waiting to get a V-gasm off of the crack truck. That was so good 3 years ago. That's their vegetarian breakfast item. And my wife and I make it at home now since 2 years ago when we had it because it was so good.
Thanks.
It's a little food truck fusion happening here. I like it a lot. All right. Well, if you would like to catch any of these guys in action, they are over at the Food Truck Oasis, which is over there. I would highly recommend it. Thank you all for coming out. We are so thrilled to have you join us. Again, I'm Allison Hamlin. I'm here with Heritage Radio Network. If you'd like to learn more about us, we are online. We do all internet-based food radio. You can find us at heritageradionetwork.org. You should not miss Mr. Jack Inslee and his full service crew. They'll be next door at Snake and Jake's Christmas Barn basically all the time until forever. And Jack also does full service radio, so if you're not lucky enough to be over there sometime this weekend, you can catch his show Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back again tomorrow at 2 with a little bit of a conversation about that time we got wasted, drinking stories and sustainability. So we hope to catch you then. Enjoy the rest of your day. Get a little weird, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.